I'll share a thought with you tonight real quickly. I promise I won't be too awful long. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I mentioned this. I don't know if there's a rule, if there's a law. I don't know that. They may be somewhere that says a pastor can't preach at certain times, but I believe the Lord said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And I might be out of season, but I'm going to preach the word. Amen. I'm concerned, and I really appreciate both messages already. It's been spot on for the days we're living in. Amen. We're living in a day where people have just absolutely give up on God. There's a time in our society, in our world, where there was chaos, and people got so involved with the chaos, they forgot about the Creator, amen, who is in control of all those things. And they allow that to deter them in serving God. They get so wrapped up in all the things and all the chaos and all the emotions and roller coasters and politics and sicknesses and everything else, everything under the sun, they allow that to distract them. And I've got this message tonight that I've been working on, and it's not perfected by no means. It's just straight off the press. You pray for me. And I've the title of the message is Perception That Can Lead to Deception. Our perception sometimes of events and things around us, our circumstances, if we're not real careful, can lead us to deception. Acts chapter 27, very familiar passage of Scripture. We're dealing with the Apostle Paul on a missionary journey, and he's traveling, and he's in a ship, and he knows what he's doing. He's been on the ocean before. He's set sail before. He's not a rookie. He's not a first-timer. Amen. He knows what's happening, what's going on. And he makes the statement, the comment to these sailors, boys, men, I advise you, we ought not take this journey. But they rejected Paul's word, and they didn't listen to what he had to say. They set sail, the Bible says, and headed out on the sea. Now, as you read through the chapter, you'll find that there's many things that's mentioned there about this journey, and I'm not going to get into all the details about the journey. You have your Bibles. You can read that, study that for yourself. And there's a lot to this, and like I said, it's not been perfected because there's a lot to put in. I don't have time to put it in there. But if you look in verse number 8, the Bible says in verse number 8, and hardly passing it, came unto the place which is called the Fair Havens. And as you study this, you'll find that there at Fair Havens was a place that Paul said we ought to just calm down and stay still, and we ought not sail through this journey. And as you study it, you'll find that he gave them some words of wisdom, said, sirs, I perceive, verse number 10, that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the ship, but also of our lives. And those men, the Bible says in verse 11, nevertheless, they believed the master of the ship, owner of the ship, more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, my burden tonight is this, and I'll try to move quickly, but my burden tonight is this. How many times have they listened to the world and listened to the newscaster and listened to all the politicians and everybody else and forsook the things that the man of God said and didn't listen to that, and they end up finding themselves in trouble and wondering how they got in such a shape. Amen. Listen, the Bible says, nevertheless, they believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodities to winter in, they departed. They didn't listen to Paul. They ignored what he had to say. Now I'm going somewhere. You stay with me, all right? We find in verse number 18, the Bible says, and being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. What happened? They set sail, and where they was at is it's the little creek, if you will, and they were sailing through there, and everything was fine because the area they was in was blocking the winds, if you would. And so they sail out from that area, and they get into a place that's wide open. There's nothing to protect them from the wind. And the Bible says, and suddenly here comes a boisterous wind, a name for it. It's what we call a hurricane. And it begins to attack the ship. And they're out there, and the Bible says, that and being exceeding tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands to tackle another ship. Now I'm telling you, something's getting very serious whenever you got to throw the tackle of the ship overboard. Amen. They've got this themselves in a mess. Their perception was that the master and the owner of the ship knew more than the man of God did. And their perception led them to deception, which led them into dangerous territory. Amen? And so we find as we look at this, Paul had gave the warning as they left the fair haven, but it was not received. The owner of the ship and the captain, they rejected Paul's wisdom. Let me just take a time out and say this. The man of God has wisdom. Amen? The world has not wisdom. They may have knowledge, they may have understanding, but they don't have wisdom unless they get it from God, because the Bible says that God giveth wisdom. Amen? If any man lack wisdom, James said, let him ask of God. Amen. So that worldly crowd that's lost and undone without God, they do not have the answers. Amen. That's good preaching right there, preacher. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's truth. Amen. They don't have the wisdom, but yet everybody wants to follow them and listen to them because they think their perception is correct. We find here that Paul was rejected for what he said. Now, we find them in the severe storm. I got to hurry. I don't have much time. I put myself on a time limit. Say amen, Brother Tom. They find themselves in a severe storm. And the Bible says that Paul had been in long abstinence. I'd often refer to that, a thought of that, as being Paul being in the prayer closet. Some were praying. I guarantee you this much, if a true man of God, whenever he gives wisdom and those people reject that wisdom, that true man of God's going to be in the prayer closet because he knows somebody's in trouble. Amen? A real man of God's going to listen whenever they reject it. He's going to listen to God and he's going to give that word of God. But whenever they reject it, he's going to go back to that prayer closet and plead with God as an intercessor on their behalf. Amen. How do you know that? Because Paul was missing for a few days. I believe he's down there in the prayer closet in the secret place along with God, pleading with God for the situation of their ignorance and because they had not received the word. I've got to hurry. The Bible says that word abstinence, the word in the Bible abstinence, it means eating no food. And so we know according to Scripture that they was in a severe storm and it had lasted for at least 14 days, two solid weeks. Could you imagine being in a hurricane for 2 weeks? I could not imagine being in a hurricane for 2 days. 14 hours, that's enough. Amen, but they was there for 14 days, at least 14 days. The Apostle Paul has not ate. He's fasting and he's praying. And he's getting a hold of God. He's doing business with the Lord on behalf of the ignorant personnel upon the ship. Amen. Verse number 33, we know that it's been at least 14 days. Now, he comes on the scene now, and he's speaking again. He spoke to begin with, says, I perceive that this voyage is going to be to our hurt, not only to the ship, but also to our lives. Now, his perception was correct. Amen? But the master and the others didn't listen to him. They rejected the word from the man of God. Now they find themselves in a dangerous situation. Everybody with me? I'm glad you're on. So now Paul is going to speak again. He's been absent for 14 days. He comes back up on the deck of the ship. And Paul begins to speak again. All right? Listen. He tells them, let's see if I can find my place. I don't even know where I'm at. Verse 21 of the long passage. Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Can I borrow your mind for just a moment? I hope I painted a little bit of picture. Who are you with me now? They're in a hurricane. Been there for 14 days and the ship's been tossed to and fro. They've had to tow the tackle over the ship overboard. I mean, things is a mess. Their life is a wreck. They're pleading for God, pleading for life. And Paul comes up out of the prayer closet. No, I don't know, this Bible doesn't say, but I bet he had a little glow about him, amen, when he comes up on the ship. And he says, sirs, be of good cheer.
probably said, Paul, have you not looked around? Can you not see what kind of mess we're in? But the Apostle Paul says, I have good news for you. Be of good cheer. Amen. Praise the Lord. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. There thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Boy, that's a good word of cheer. Hallelujah. If I'd have been on that ship, I'd have shouted. Amen. Hey, God said to Paul, the man of God, that you shall be brought before Caesar, and all them that's on the ship with you, amen, they're going to go with you into Rome, amen. They're going to go with you to see Caesar. So nobody's going to lose their life. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not. Great words. Amen. You ought to underline that in your Bible. And he says in verse 25, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I think we ought to just mark that right there and hang there for just a little while. When everybody else has gone off the deep end and listened to all the lies of the world and all the deception of the world, I'll just believe God. For he never lies and he does not have the ability to lie. Amen? I just believe God. All right, I know that's elementary. Just hang with me. He speaks again with calmness as he steps aboard this deck of the ship. Now, I said they're in a hurricane, and I can imagine the upset and the turmoil and the sickness and the panic that everybody's in. I mean, everybody is literally scared to death. And Paul walks up on the ship in a calm. Sirs, be of good cheer. Now, how can the Apostle Paul, boy, I thought this was a blessing. I about shouted in my study. How can the Apostle Paul and all that chaos and all that stuff, how can he walk up there and be so calm? I tell you how he did that. The same way you and I can be calm in the chaos, he was with the Lord. The closer you are to the Lord, the less the chaos bothers you. Amen? The closer you are to the Lord in your walk with Him, when everything's gone haywire, when the world is turned upside down, when nobody wants to operate a business because they're afraid they're going to get a sniffle or a sneeze, when everything goes crazy, the men of God, the people of God, the women of God can walk in calmness because we know who's in control. Amen. Paul walks up there on the deck. He's not in no upset. He's calm. He's cool. He's collected. Sirs, be of good cheer. This is what the Lord said. Whoop. Amen. Now, it sounds on the surface, it sounds really good to see that Paul had made a statement to start with and they ignored him. And they find themselves in danger. Let me just go ahead and say this while I'm there real quickly. Anytime the man of God says something, do you real good to listen the first time so you don't have to come back the second time. Amen. When the man of God gives his wisdom, sometimes it just aggravates me to death because of some of these stuff, whatever they call them in the pulpits. Amen. I'll just leave it that way, whatever they are. They don't have wisdom of God. If they had wisdom of God, they wouldn't allow that mess in the pulpits. Anyway. So a true man of God that has walked with God and listened to God and has met with God and has served God and has some experience in the things of God, he has some wisdom about him when he speaks, amen, you should listen to him. This has been saying years ago with E.F. Hutton. I don't know if y'all remember E.F. Hutton or not, but they say if E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, amen. He wasn't a pastor, but amen. When a man of God speaks, y'all listen. Whenever Brother Robert, myself, and other men of God, whenever we preach, we don't do it just to have something to do. Amen. I've got plenty to do without preaching. Amen. It's what God's called us to do, and he called us to do it because the hearers need to hear the wisdom from the man of God and the word of God. Amen. We're not perfect. Amen. By no means. We fail, and we're failures. Amen. We go to the book of Hebrews, you find all those actions of faith, and they mention their faith, but every one of them had their failures. And so do the men of God. We have our failures. We're not perfect in the sense of sinless perfection.
But God has called us to do a work. Whenever the man of God says something, y'all listen. Amen. That's good preaching. I know this is preventive maintenance. Amen. 2024, don't walk out the door. Just hear the man of God. Paul, he had preached and he gave the warning to start with and they ignored it. Now he's coming back again and he's encouraging them. This is an encouraging word. And you know what they did? They ignored him the second time. Isn't that amazing? You missed it the first time. You ignored what I said. You ignored the man of God and the warning from God. And you set sail and you find yourself in a turmoil. And now I'm coming back and telling you again, be of good cheer, you're not going to die. God's going to take care of it. And they still, their perception was leading them to deception. They thought the man of God wasn't telling them the truth. My. Paul had a close relationship with God. Amen. And he speaks, and then as he begins to speak his message aboard the ship, look, verse number 21, he says, after long as Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now he's told them the ship, it's a different story, but none of you are going to die. Amen. I'd be looking for the life preservers. Amen. I'd be looking for the dinghy. I'd be looking for whatever I could hold on to. Because the ship going down. He says, I'm not going down, but I'm not going to be hunting for something. I'm going to go ahead and get that taken care of. Where's your faith? It's hanging on the wall. Amen. anyway. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, there must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, source being of cheer, I believe God. And it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit when we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, Paul has said to them, we're going to continue to sail, and the ship's going to suffer, and we're going to land on a certain island. Now he's got this thing nailed down. He's just talking to God. Amen. God has spoken to him. So he's got it nailed down. He says, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So when the 14th night was come, as it was driving up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, found 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, what? For real? The shipmen, the Bible says in verse 30, were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. That under color means they was doing it deceitfully, and in the disguise to make people think they were going to help the ship. So the Bible says, as you read that in the night, they cast out four anchors out the stern. Amen. So the anchors out the stern points the ship in whichever direction it needs to go. Everybody with me? All right. So these guys are making out that they're going to drop the boat off the bow of the ship, off the front of the ship, and they're going to run down there and get the front anchors and run them out a little ways so it'll hold the boat together. Undercover. You know what? They weren't going to go do that. They're just going to let that boat down and hightail it. Their perception had led them to deception, to think that what they were fixing to do would be well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul says to them that they are to be of good cheer, that God is with them, and nobody should lose their life. But now they get to the place where they think that it was a great idea to go grab the boat off the front and drop it in the water, and let's get away from here right quick before this thing blows all to pieces.
Don't go out the door in 2024 thinking it's going to blow all to pieces. Amen. Don't go grab the boat and think you're doing something for God. Whenever you're disobeying God and you're being disobedient to the Word of God, you're going to find yourself deceived in deception and your life will be a mess. The news Paul gave them, it restored hope. It was a message of deliverance. It was a message of certainty that their lives would be saved. But they'd be more troubles because it said the ship wasn't going to be as good as us. You know, it's going to have some problems. We're going to land on a certain island. So there's going to be more trouble. Let me just interject something right there right quickly. Salvation doesn't separate us from troubles. Amen. Because you're saved, I'm saved. It doesn't eliminate us from having troubles. There's troubles and trials on every hand. Job says man is full of trouble. Amen. He's full of it and we have troubles every day. And so he told them there'd be more troubles, but yet they would be saved. Their life would not be lost. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Your name has not been blotted out of the book of life. Be of good cheer. I don't like what's going on down there at the church house. Be of good cheer. Your name's not blotted out of the book of life. Amen. I don't like the way the preacher talks. Be of good cheer. Your name's not been blotted out of the book of life. Amen. I don't like the way they sing. Be of good cheer. Your name's not been blotted out of the book of life. You ought to look at Jesus. Amen. Looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith and quit looking at every little thing under the sun trying to get out the door. Stop looking for something and start looking at Him. Amen. I want to know more about my Lord, the songwriter said. But I changed that. I want to do more for the Lord in 2024. Amen. There's my little slogan for tonight. Amen. I want to do more for the Lord. And so listen, their perception was wrong and they was deceived in thinking that what they was going to do would be well pleasing to God. Let me give you something. I got to hurry. No doubt the circumstance was great. We find the driving of the ship was not of the sailors. Now the sailors wasn't driving. The storm was driving the ship. They had no control. But I'm telling you, one of the greatest... The greatest troubles in your life and my life is whenever we don't have control. Amen. That bothers me, that hurts me, that scares me. I don't have control. But I have learned a thing or two about control. I give it to Him. Amen. I let Him drive. Don't y'all even go there with that contemporary song. I know some of y'all thinking it already. Don't even go there about Jesus in the wheel. Let the Lord drive. Amen. I'm just bloated. The sailors wasn't driving the ship, the storm was. It was driven by the storm, verse 27. The ship was being tossed back and forth, and it seemed like it was in an aimless direction. Didn't know which way it was going. We see the great circumstances of the depth of the ship. In verse 27 and 28, the sailors was not in control of the ship, did not know where they were. That caused a great concern. It caused great fear that disaster could happen at any moment. They could hit quicksand. They could hit rocks. There's all kinds of things out there. They didn't have a clue where they's at. They's at the mercies of the winds and the water. I'm glad, thank God, I know the one that controls the winds and the water. Amen. Mercy, I don't have time to preach there. The darkness, they couldn't see. The Bible says it was dark. They couldn't see around them. There's danger, verse 29, fearing that they would hit the rocks. There was dread. There was despair. The Bible says they wished it for the day. But it's dark. It's dark. Here's a warning tonight. You better be careful when you don't listen to the man of God and the word of God. You'll find yourself in darkness. Saved by the grace of God, but you've disobeyed God and you'll find yourself wandering in darkness. Because your perception led you to deception. And what you thought was the will of God is actually disobedient to God because you hadn't walked with God and you didn't hear Him speak to you about what you did. Hello, that's good preaching. The sailors had plenty of evidence of Paul's message. They should have believed what he said because it was proven at the first message. He said, I perceive there's going to be trouble. And there was trouble. There's evidence that what he said was true. Amen. And so they didn't listen to him, but there's evidence there. They should have listened to him. Plenty of warning that troubles would come, yet they did not believe. Here's just a little side note. There's evidence that ignoring the men of God and the man of God and the word of God, it will bring trouble.
I've preached it many a time. I know Brother Robin has, many other pastors have. We preached our hearts out. I preached my lung out. I've left here and felt like I left both lungs laying on the pulpit. And know that God was speaking to somebody and they walked out the door and never did anything with God. That's tough. Amen. That's tough. I got 5 minutes. We find the deceitfulness in the sailors who were fixing to jump ship in verse number 30 and 31. The anchors normally let down from the bow, the front of the ship. But verse 29 tells us it was at night. They let down the four anchors from the stern to back of the ship, letting it down from the stern, kept the bow pointed in the right direction. These sailors was going to use the little boat on the ship that supposedly take the front anchors out of the front of the ship. That was an act of deceit because they were going to jump ship. Paul had announced that all hands on the ship would be preserved in the storm, but the sailors allowed the perception to lead them to deception. They thought that they could get away with a scheme by stealing a little boat and making a run for it. Not only do we find the deceitfulness and disbelieving in these men and these sailors, but we also find disrespect in their conduct. What about the rest of the crowd? What about those you're leaving behind? Lord, have mercy. I wish I could preach that for a little while. These people that get mad at the least little things at the house of God, get mad at the man of God, and they walk away from God. What about those you're leaving behind? Amen. What about the little ones that's looking up to you? What about the neighbor that's watching you and the coworker that's listening to you? What about that crowd? Watching your conduct and your perception of what you think is right, it's deception, and it leads you to hurt others around you. Listen, Paul dealt with their carnality. And he quickly said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. That condemnation, it was necessary because of their carnality. Amen. Condemnation is necessary to bring about salvation. It's necessary for the man of God to preach the word of God. It's not always easy, but it's necessary. Amen. It's necessary. That condemnation, you need to hear that. You need to heed that to keep you in the ship so you don't find yourself shipwrecked. Lesson here is about the need to preach against sin. We all know we need that. Amen. There's the warning that God gives to the lost sinner that they need a Savior. Amen. There's always that needs to be preached from the pulpit until Jesus comes. There's the believer that think because they're saved, it doesn't pertain to them. I'm here to tell you tonight, it pertains to us. Amen. Our perception to think that we're saved and everything's going to be all right, that's a deception. Amen. Because I'm saved, it's worse. Amen. It's not going to be all right because the devil hates everything I try to do for God. Amen. The devil crowd hates me. The world hates me. My own flesh hates me. It's deception, and it leads us into doing something that's disobedient to God. The saved need not to be deceived by their perception. It's not as bad as you think it is. Or it's not going to be as easy as you think it is. They often said the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. And I have learned in my years, 54 years of life, I've learned that's absolute truth. It's not always as easy as you think it's going to be. If you're looking for something to get out the door in 2024, it's not going to be as easy as you think it is. And if it's that easy, you best be very cautious because something's going to fail. I've learned, Brother Robert, in my ministry, if it's easy, I'm scared of it. Amen. I tread lightly. I like things easy. Amen. I like it when it's easy, but it's not always easy. And I get nervous when it's easy. And whenever something happens, my wife said, well, that was easy. I said, I know, I'm scared to death. It's not always easy. Verse 31 and 32, we find that the temptation to flee the will of God. Verse 31, the Bible says, Paul said, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall. It's amazing as we read this passage of Scripture. Man, there's so much in here. But they was tempted. Their perception was, I can take that little boat and I can jump ship and I can get away from the danger. But I'm just gonna help myself just a little bit. Could you imagine being in a hurricane Been in that thing for 14 days. The winds are tossing that ship, a huge ship big enough to carry a boat and 200 some men on it. And you're going to jump on a little dinghy across the lake, across the ocean, and think it's a good idea. I don't know what they were thinking, but their perception was way off. There's been a many of people, I don't know what they was thinking, but their perception was way off. Whenever COVID hit, I know a lot of people has to deal with that and has dealt with that, and I'm not saying that that was... Anyway, I'm not condemning nobody, but I am saying this. Whenever your perception that a sniffle or a sneeze is going to keep you out of the house, your perception is well. Because God says, I will never leave thee. Amen? And if God sees fit for me to get a sniffle, and God sees fit for me to get sick, I know he's in control. Amen. We have a rule that if you're sick, stay home. Amen? We don't share life. Amen. But there's a fear that's on the world, and those that used to attend churches, there's a fear on them, and their perception is, I can't go to church because if I go, I'm liable to get sick. And that's deception. That's the tool of the devil, and he's using that against them, and their deception has led them into danger because they're walking in a world of wickedness and darkness and ungodliness, and they're walking without God. I got to hurry. The temptation was to flee the will of God. That boat on that ship wasn't needed to rescue anybody. Hello, that's good preaching right there. I don't have time to preach all that. That little boat on the ship was not needed. God didn't need that boat to save anybody. Here's the thing. Don't jump ship. Just let God do his will. Amen. Your perception can lead you to deception. What you think is right, what you think is the will of God, you better take that up with God. And if the man of God comes and gives you some wisdom, you ought to heed what the man of God says. Amen. Believe it or not, we still have some good godly men of God. Amen. And they walk with God and they talk with God and they've been through some things. And if you'll listen to them, they'll help you. I know there's times whenever I've given out some help to some families, and I dealt with some families that's having some struggles in their marriage. I've been married 38 years. I know just a little bit about being married. Amen. I know something about that. I've been there. I've done that. And I know, Brother Tom, that we're not always right. And neither are they. Thank you. I got one amen over there. We just don't tell them that. Amen. But I know some things about marriage. And those of you that's been married, we know some things about that. And we can give wisdom about that. Amen. And so when it comes to raising a family, we've raised a family. We have some wisdom. We know how to deal with that. When it comes to ungodliness and pornography and wickedness and ungodliness, we know how to deal with that because we've had to deal with that. And I can help you, and your pastor can help you. I was reading a little article today. Brother David Cloud was posting this Cord app. I don't know if you've heard about the Cord app. I got to hurry. Lord, help. Somebody unplug the clock. There's this Cord app, and it's for men that struggles with those, and women that struggles with ungodly photographs. And it's a threefold cord, and they got three people that get together on this app, and they have to talk to each other and deal with that situation. Every time they have a situation come up in their mind, they deal with that. Which is a great thing, a great tool, I guess it is, to have to deal with it. Listen, the man of God can help you with those things. Amen? The Word of God can help you with those things. Every thought and imagination that's against the will of God and the things of God, bring it into captivity is what Paul says. Amen? Get a hold of that. Don't let that run away with you. Lord, help me, I got to hurry. The carnal Christian, hear me well. The carnal Christian is easily beguiled. The further away that you are walking with God, the easier it is for you to be deceived. Perception. When tempted, your perception can lead you to take the easy way out. It's going to be hard serving the Lord in 2024. Because this world's getting worse and worse.
Amen. And if anybody tells you that serving the Lord is going to be easy, don't listen to them. God didn't say anywhere that it was going to be easy. God did say, my grace is sufficient. Amen. How do you do it? You do it through the grace and the strength of God. Amen. It gives you the power to do that. So we follow close to Him. Those who walk close to the Lord have a better discernment than those that walk far. The reaction to the condemnation found in verse number 32 is commendable. The reaction was very commendable because they cut the ropes, the Bible says, and they let the boat just drop down into the sea. Listen, the very thing that they perceived would deliver them ended up being the thing that became a total loss. Ain't that amazing? The thing that in their perception they perceived that this would deliver them became a deception and it became a total loss. Good thing they cut it loose. Boy, there's a whole bunch of preaching right there. A lot of things just need to be cut loose. I got to hurry. I got to hurry. The food's waiting. It's a sandwich. It can't get very cold. let me read you some scripture. Verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not one hair fall from the head of any of you. Praise the Lord. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when they had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in the ship 216 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. Isn't that amazing? I believe if you go back in a few verses, Paul said, we're going to land on a certain island. Guess where they're headed? Right to that certain island. I'm going to give you my thought. I'm going to quit. Maybe. Verse number 40. I'm interested in this phrase. And I'll draw it out in just a minute. Verse 40, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fourth part stuck fast and remained unmovable, and the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. We know the ship was all tore up and all that. Go back to verse 40. I got to hurry. I'm interested in this phrase. They committed themselves. They committed themselves. The Bible says that they loosed the rudder bands, they hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and they made to the shore. I'm telling you, as believers tonight, one of the greatest things that we need to do is to be committed to the Lord and make our minds up in 2024, I'm going to be committed to the Lord in 2024. I'm going to set the sail up. I'm going to raise up the mainsail. I'm going to loose the rudders and the bands, and I'm going to make toward the shore. Amen. I'm headed home. I'm headed home. You saved tonight, you're headed home. I know this is talking about a different shore, and I know, listen, there's a whole lot of things going on, the ships get tore. I'm borrowing from that, and I'm applying that tonight to that phrase that they committed themselves. Set that ship on the sea, off the sea on the shore. And it ended up being stuck, amen, on the shore. If we're not careful in 2024, our perception can lead us to deception. Our deception, being deceived, can lead us into danger. Danger can lead us into destruction. Amen? Whenever we're deceived and we find ourselves in danger and we're dealing with destruction, we need not to fault God and fault the man of God, But we need to get back close to God and the man of God and heed what God says. Listen to the man of God and what he's saying. Amen. Stay on the ship. Stay in the fight. Don't run out the door. Stay in it for the Lord. Amen. Set your sails to reach the heaven shore. Amen. I don't care what the world says, what the politicians say, what everybody else in this ungodly world tries to do. You follow God. Follow His word. Don't be deceived by the devil. And make it safely home, because he says not one hair shall fall from your head, because he knows every one of them. Amen. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us. Amen. It's not going to be an easy road. God never said it would be easy, but he said, I'll get you there. But you've, listen, there's a promise. God says, I'll never leave thee, but there's a promise. You got to be there with him. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you, but you got to be there to hear him. Amen. He'll lead us and He'll guide us if we'll walk with Him, if we'll talk with Him, if we'll fellowship with Him. There's got to be a close relationship. What's your relationship with the Lord? Amen. That's good. I'm telling you. Lord, help me. I didn't mean to take up all that time, but we're just going to go eat and have a good time fellowship. Amen. I believe that's meant to be tonight. Amen. I felt like the Lord wanted me to share that. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen so many people, their perception to do something is so far out of the will of God, and they think it's the right thing to do. I've seen them leave church. I've had families that I've sat and counseled with and told them that this is going to happen if you don't listen to me, and they didn't listen to me, and that's exactly what happened. I'm not saying I'm perfect by no means. I've got experience in a few things, and I've watched those families suffer, and I've seen mom and daddy separate. And I see the children suffer because mom and daddy that once was in church, now both of them's out of church. And the children are suffering. And they're wondering, is God real? That God that they talked about that saved them, that the preacher talked about at the house of God, mom and daddy's forsook that God. And their perception is that everything's going to be okay, that God's pleased with my wicked lifestyle. And my children are watching that. And my children are thinking that God's not real. And the world's telling them that God's not real. And it makes a major impact on our world. God says, I just need a few. I just need a few that'll trust me. Just stay in there and stay in the fight. Give it everything you got. Amen. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the world deceive you. Don't let your flesh deceive you. How can I help my perception? I'm quitting. I'm unplugging. How can I help my perception? Looking unto Jesus. He's the author. You know what else the Bible says about it? He's not just the author. He didn't just write the book. He finished it. Amen. He's the author. He's the finisher. I think I'll just go with God. I believe I'll be like the Apostle Paul. I just believe God. Amen.